Hey guys, before we get started in this week's podcast, I want to answer some frequently asked questions that I get very, very often. And one of them has to do with my coaching. So I do offer private coaching. So if you are interested in working with me, my coaching program is a minimum of 6 weeks. The reason why we have a minimum is because it takes time to actually begin to heal your wounds, and also not just heal, but really rebuild. Rebuilding takes time. It's not something tomorrow that you're going to wake up and say, okay, I'm healed from my past and I can move on to my new future and I have all the confidence in the world. I know how to have positive and healthy self-talk. I know how to handle when I go through a tough time or a stressful time, and I can take care of myself when I'm alone in all aspects. So learning all of that is a tall drink of water, and it does take time. So my coaching program is an investment. It is an investment in yourself. It is an investment in your happiness and your emotional and mental well-being. If you are interested in working with me, I always link everything within every single one of my podcasts, but you can also check me out at Stephanie Lynn, L-Y-N, lifecoaching.com. Hey guys, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I am so excited that you are here. Let's dive right into this week's topic. So let's get right into this week's topic. So I want to talk about why we feel the need to fix other people. So really, I'm talking to the empaths, I'm talking to the codependent people, I'm talking about the natural caregivers, I'm talking about the people that just love to find a wounded little puppy and just heal them back to heal them back to life. So why do we choose these people in terms of our partners, and why are we always trying to fix them? Why do we gravitate towards these type of people? And you know, why do we do this? And you know, part of it is the good in you. I know that a lot of people are the empaths, and you see the broken person and you see what they've gone through and you see who they are, but not everything in life is your job to take home, to fix, to disrupt your life, to disrupt your happiness, because you found a project to work on. So knowing the difference between helping others and where that's a good thing and helping others where it's a bad thing is what we're going to talk about. So let's start, like in all places, let's go back to our childhood. So oftentimes, if you are the person who likes to fix, right, likes to have the hands in everything, when someone has a problem, you are the first person that they call. Chances are, growing up, your needs were not always met. But what you needed was often pushed aside to some extent. Maybe you didn't get the validation that you needed. Maybe you didn't have the connection with the parent that you wanted to. Doesn't mean that you didn't love your mom, you didn't love your dad, but there were just stuff that you didn't always get. And so you learned over time, just by it always happening, that what you wanted was second and this other person came first. And so you kind of learned, like, oh, in order for me to, or quite frankly, you learned that someone showing you love was by them just coming in and fixing everything in your life. Was when you were happy, here's a toy. You know, when you weren't okay, let's go out and do something. So you learn this pattern over time, which showed, oh, love equals you buying me things. Love equals you taking me on a trip. Love equals you doing things for me all the time and never letting me do something on my own. I do think a really big part also of wanting to fix others is because you've deemed what is acceptable and not acceptable, right? So you've made it a point to look at this person and say, okay, you're broken and I'm gonna fix you because the way you're living your life isn't okay. So now we've come into more of like controlling behavior. Now, one of the biggest problems with this is not everyone wants saving. Not everyone wants to be fixed. Some people don't agree with what you think and how you live your life. Some people don't want to open the window or open the door to their past and why they are the way they are. They're not into personal development. So you thinking that someone should be living their life in a different way, you're always going to get pushback from the other person. And then of course, you're going to come resentful because you're going to look at it like, I'm trying to help you and you don't want to take my help. And I love you and this is why I'm doing this, when real love is really just accepting someone for who they are, is it not? Now, that doesn't mean that we accept abuse. That doesn't mean that we accept toxic behavior. So if the way you live your life is not the way I live my life, right off the bat, we don't share the same values and beliefs. And I just did a video like a couple weeks back about how to spot a healthy person, or how to spot the one, or how to spot the person that's right for you. And I do think this even goes into friendships, you know, like making sure you're finding the friends that are right for you, like your tribe. This is really important, is because not everyone wants to live the life that you live. And that should be okay to a certain extent. Obviously, if you meet someone and they're doing really bad things with their life, you can't just accept that and then invite them into yours. So, you know, it's not black and white, but you know what I'm talking about. Now, here's the thing. I know that a lot of the fixing is coming from a good place, but you have to understand, at the end of the day, it might show someone over time that, or make them feel like they're not good enough because you're always trying to change them. Now, again, I'm going to say this throughout this whole video. This is not black and white. So if you're watching this and you know you're in an emotionally abusive relationship or a very unhealthy relationship, I'm not saying to overlook that and just keep going forward and accept this person for who they are. Yes, you can accept them for who they are, but who they are is not someone that you want in your life. But really, this is about trying to learn not to stick your nose in people's business when it doesn't need to be there. This is when you need to, whoever you meet, whether it's dating, new friendships, whatever, you're always taking people at face value. So whatever you see right now, just live as if that could never possibly change. Are you okay with that person? Because let's just keep it real. Changing is not easy. It's something that takes a lot of work. And that's why most people don't want to do it, right? If it was easy, everyone would do it. But if it's not something that's easy and it's something that takes effort and time and consistency and patience, most people don't want to put in that kind of work. So whatever you see, just pretend this is going to be it forever. Whether it's a friendship, romantic partner, mother, father, sister, or whatever, and you either have to accept it or you have to say, okay, I accept it, but it's not something that I want in my life. Now, if we dip into the codependency part, then of course, I want to come in and save the day, because I'm not good if you're not good. So if I'm an empath, if I'm someone that kind of like takes on the feelings of someone else, if you're feeling depressed, then I'm going to feel depressed and I don't want to feel depressed. So I'm going to try to get you out of that depression, rather than allowing everyone to experience what they're feeling, knowing that none of that is your responsibility, knowing the difference between when should I offer assistance and help and when I need to take a back seat and know that this has nothing to do with me. And maybe I don't see you for a little while so you can work out some of the things that you're going through. And of course, I'm here for you, but I'm here for you if and when you need me. Now again, in childhood, if you are codependent now as an adult, chances are you had some kind of abuse or narcissism or just something in your childhood, whether it was mom, dad, grandma, whoever, that you experience over time. And so you learn to put your stuff on the back burner. And so when you learned that over and over and over again, you learn that your needs don't matter, that all that matters is this person. And as a child, if you were in environments that weren't always the happiest and the easiest, then you wanted to make that person just feel better because you didn't want them to feel the way that they were feeling, because it affected you. You were a child. You couldn't just leave if mom was in a bad mood or dad was going through something. So you wanted to make everything good because you were a young child and you didn't know how to navigate through seeing that it wasn't. So because of that, you learn through programming that when something's going on wrong with someone else, it's your job to come in and fix it. Now, because that was the story for most of childhood, teenage years, etc., when you go out into the world and you start meeting people, you're always going to attract what the standard was. So the standard was that this is the way mom and dad, you know, behaved towards each other. This is the way mom acted. This is how dad spoke to me. And while you might know logically that it was wrong and that wasn't right, it's what you've always known. And so you're going to just be a little bit drawn to it until you kind of become more mindful and aware of all of this stuff, that as you go about life and you begin to get drawn towards something that you can look at and go, well, wait a minute, that's actually not good for me. Like, I don't want that actually. So I'm going to go in this direction instead. It's not until you really become mindful of these things that you can choose. If you're not mindful, you're just going to go on autopilot and you're going to always attract those people. Now that we understand why we tend to attract these people that, quote, need fixing, right? Because the standard was this from childhood, from whatever. So we're always drawn to these projects because we've always had them growing up. We've always had these parents and these relationships, and it was always about them, and they were all kinds of messed up and they didn't take responsibility for themselves and all of that. That, of course, that's going to be kind of the standard of what you're used to, but it really isn't it doesn't have to be, like I said, until you become a little bit more mindful of what kind of relationship do you want? What is your responsibility and what is not your responsibility? So what is your responsibility? Your responsibility really and truly as a grown adult is yourself. And think about it, when we have friendships, when we have partners, the word partner is that. It is a partner in life to go and experience things with. The friendship is a partner, is a friendship that you're supposed to have that is with you through life, but they're not sitting on top of you and you're not sitting on top of them where their stuff is your stuff, etc. Of course, we're going to help, we're going to assist, I'm going to validate you, I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to, hey, you need a ride to the airport, cool. Like, there's going to be the back and forth in a relationship, right? The connection is happening and I love you and I don't want you to feel this way, but there has to be a point where you understand I have to always be taking care of myself first. So when am I doing something, number one, for the wrong reasons, because I feel uncomfortable because you're not okay, or am I doing something for you when I shouldn't be doing something for you? So the only time you can really, or the only time you can really start to change this aspect of yourself is when you really start to heal from codependency, because chances are that's probably gonna be at the forefront of why you like to fix people. Of course, we all wanna like help everyone. And I think even an empath can probably say, not every codependent is an empath and not every empath is a codependent, but they sometimes do really tend to kind of go hand in hand. So if you ask someone who is an empath that isn't codependent, they would say, while I feel so bad that someone has to go through this, I know that that's not my responsibility. Whereas an empath who is codependent or just a codependent themselves probably doesn't say those things. Their just first reaction is always going to be, how can I help? How can I help? What can I do? They're not going to question whether they should do it. Is it right for them to do it? Are they too tired? Do they have too much going on? Like, they're not concerned with filling themselves up first and taking care of themselves. Their only concern is the other person. So when you're good, then I'm good. And then maybe I'll focus a little bit on myself. But right now, it always has to be just about you. So that about wraps it up. Thanks guys so much for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and I will see you next week.